Hello and welcome to this week's reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. Again, we're continuing to look at our series in the Gospel of John, and we're asking the question, how do we love like Jesus does? So we're looking at John chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. And so I'm just going to read those verses for us. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. So there's a lot we can learn from this passage about how to love people around us. Jesus does lots of wonderful things to show his love to the man who had been paralyzed or unable to walk for 38 years. So I'm just going to focus on a couple of things that we can learn from this passage. And one of the first things that we see is that Jesus chose to go and be among the people who needed to know love. During the first century, there was very little sympathy or love given to those who had chronic health problems or disabilities. They were the outcasts, the forgotten and neglected ones. And Bethesda was a place where many of those rejected people gathered. The pool at Bethesda had become famous, as it was believed by the people that an angel would sometimes stir up the waters, and when that happened, the first person to enter into the water was healed of their problem. And so, of course, Bethesda became crowded with people with chronic conditions, all hoping to experience this healing power. And we're told that Jesus is in Jerusalem for a festival, so I would assume there would be lots to keep him busy in Jerusalem. As such, I would guess that Jesus doesn't need to go to the pool near the Sheep Gate. It doesn't seem that Jesus has any particular reason to go to this place other than his great compassion for the least, the last, and the lost, his love for the hurting and rejected. Jesus didn't just get lost and find himself in Bethesda. Instead, he chose to go. And all throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus deliberately heading to areas where there are people he can show love to. I mean, just last week, we saw that Jesus was deliberately speaking kindly to the Samaritan woman at the well, even though she would have been used to being spoken to with scorn and rejection. Jesus entered situations and looked for the people that others considered unlovable. It's natural for us to make friends with people who are like us. There are many studies that show how we naturally gravitate towards people who have similar outlooks or experiences of life. we find it comfortable and safe to associate with people who are like us. If Jesus had followed this natural tendency, he might have been expected to associate with the religious elite at the temple or the people in high society. After all, who can be more fitting in high society than the king of the universe? But instead of going to those places, Jesus moves towards the need. He cares about need more than comfort. He moves towards the hurting people, the unloved, the miserable. Jesus goes where he needs to be. What about us? Where does God call you to be? Who does he call you to show love to? How can we reach out and show God's love to the people he calls us to? So we've seen, first of all, that Jesus goes to where he is called, to where he's needed. Well, what does he do when he gets there? I can imagine if I was Jesus, I probably would have gone in, charging in to be the answer to everyone's problems. But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus walks in, looks around, taking time to learn about who is there and what the story is. Verse 6 tells us, Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. Jesus saw the man and learned his story. He didn't just rush in to provide instant healing, but instead he took the time to observe and to listen. And then Jesus asked what to us might seem like a strange question. Do you want to get well? And it seems like a bizarre question because we would all probably assume that yes, of course he wants to get well. He is here at this pool. He has been coming for 38 years. He's suffering from some debilitating condition that has rendered him to be an invalid. So yes, of course he wants to get well. I think it's important that we consider Jesus' question. And I think it's important for two reasons. Firstly, Jesus doesn't make an assumption about what the man needs or wants. So often when we want to show we care for someone, we make an assumption about what they need or want, instead of actually asking them. But sometimes those assumptions might not be what the person is actually looking for. There's a story that's probably not true, but it's quite a good illustration of this. It's a story about a Boy Scout wanting to do a good deed for the day. And he sees an old woman standing near a road. And he goes over to her to help her cross the road. But for some reason, she seems to be putting up a fight. Assuming she is confused, he grabs her arm and drags her across the road and sets her down on the other side. Once he has done, the woman glares at him and demands to know what he thinks he's doing. When he replies that he just wanted to help her cross the road, she replies, "But I didn't want to be on this side of the road. I need to be back on the other side." The Boy Scout made the assumption that the woman needed help crossing the road. How often do we make assumptions about what other people need and just go ahead and help them, only to find that actually that might not be what they were asking for? Jesus asked the man, "Do you want to get well?" But interestingly, the man doesn't even seem to actually answer the question. His reply to Jesus just stated his complaint that no one was willing to help him. "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." I suspect that the man had been there so long that, to be honest, he'd probably given up hope of being healed. So when he answers Jesus, he seems almost resigned to the fact that he won't be healed. And it's just wanting someone to care for him and help him to the pool. He couldn't understand that he didn't need to get to the pool to be healed. He just needed to look to Jesus. The man's problem wasn't only that he was disabled. He was also suffering from social isolation, rejection, religious neglect, and so much else. So when we consider the man in this light, looking at him from a holistic perspective, suddenly Jesus's question, "Do you want to get well?" takes on a new meaning. And this is the second reason I think we need to listen to pay attention to this question, because Jesus isn't just in the business of healing people's physical problems. He works to heal their spiritual ones too. Jesus was, when he asked the question, "Do you want to get well?" he wasn't just asking about his physical condition. He wanted the man to be well spiritually, to be back into relationship with God, to experience God's forgiveness and grace. After telling the man to get up, pick up your mat and walk, Jesus then approaches him later and speaks to him again. But this time he is concerned about his spiritual wellness. "See, you are well. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." Now, some people may see this statement as implying that the man's disability was caused by sin. I'm reluctant to believe that, because I believe that Jesus is instead drawing a parallel between the man's physical state and his spiritual state. Essentially, Jesus points to the man's physical healing, but explains that a healthy earthly body is useless if we continue to live lives of sin and rebellion against God, because we will lose much more than our physical health if we don't follow God. If we continue to rebel against God, we forfeit both our souls and our bodies. Jesus came not just to physically heal people, but to point us back to relationship with God. How are we continuing this important work of Jesus in our own lives? Are we ensuring that we keep our eyes fixed on him, on accepting his grace and love? Are we helping others to recognize his presence and his grace as well? Jesus wants people to be well, not just physically, but spiritually. And that's how he shows love to people. And that's how we also show love to people, by wanting them to be well, physically and spiritually. And the last thing I want to point out in this passage is the difference in attitude between Jesus and the Jewish leaders that encountered the man. Jesus had compassion on the man and healed him, even though it was the Sabbath. Yet when the leaders meet the man, the first thing they say to him is a reprimand. "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." In God's commandments regarding the Sabbath, he does not say anything about forbidding people to carry their mats. However, Jewish oral tradition established rules regarding what they considered to be work, and part of that work was including carrying loads as practices that should be forbidden on the Sabbath. So when the Jewish leaders see the man carrying his mat, they take it upon themselves to reprimand him and remind him of the rules. And when the man explains that he'd just been healed and Jesus had told him to pick up his mat and walk, the leaders respond not with joy and celebration that the man had been healed, but with interrogation and anger that someone had dared to break the rules. Jesus chose to show love to someone suffering instead of abiding by convention, traditional rules, or social and religious norms. Through these actions, Jesus demonstrates that love conquers over legalism. We might sometimes hold back from showing compassion to someone because it's not what people normally do. It is not the way social convention would have us act. As a simple example, for those of us who live in London, or at least have lived in London for a while, we get used to the typical rules, the typical norms that state that we don't talk to people we don't know when we are on public transport. We sit there, eyes down, sit in our own little bubble and don't talk to other people. But a friend of mine came to London and he wasn't aware of this practice. So when he travelled on the tube, he began to engage people in conversation, trying to hear their stories and learning about the things they were doing. As a Londoner, I'm used to following the social convention that you sit in your seat, don't look at anyone else, and you keep yourself to yourself. So I was really challenged by my friend's conversations with those around him and how he was connecting with other people, listening to what they were experiencing. How easy it is for us to allow our traditions, our social norms, to stop us from reaching out to people. So what do we learn about how to love people like Jesus does from this passage? Firstly, go where God leads you. Don't stay in your safe little bubbles. Allow God to lead you to the people he wants you to meet. Secondly, don't make assumptions about what people want, but instead take the time to listen to their stories, ask them questions, and also look beyond the immediate problem to see how much we all need to know love, the love of God and the love of each other. And thirdly, don't allow tradition, social convention, rules and norms stop you from reaching out in love. So let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you will help us to reach out in love, to pay attention to the people around us and see where there is need for us to speak up or to reach out a loving hand or whatever it might be. Help us to go where you tell us to go. Help us not to make assumptions about what people need, but actually to listen. To listen with our ears, but also to listen with our heart and to discern what you are saying. Oh Lord, let us not get so caught up in the way of the world that we stop paying attention to each other and we stop obeying you. Help us to step out boldly in faith as we try to love one another and love you. Amen.